All right, I'm calling an audible here. We're going to do Bechtold's Breakdown at the top of the hour. And this is a weekly feature. Every Friday at noon, at high noon, is Bechtold's Breakdown. And it's more or less replacing the Wheel of Ball. Is it not, Bechtold?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a staple from the morning show that we've carried over to here that has been on Fridays. It's always a Friday staple, and we have fun from throughout the week.
And it's going to be very exciting. NFL last night. And this, we're going to go from this right into Artie Smith quotes. Listen, on a Thursday night, I'm all in on almost any football game to watch, any NFL game. But that thing last night was unwatchable. I had no interest in it. Like, I can't help if I'm either interested in watching something or I'm not. And almost all the time, maybe a late season crappy game on a Thursday night I won't watch. I couldn't watch it. And not only was it one really bad team, and I think the Cowboys aren't very good, and it wasn't exciting offensively, but more than anything, it was the flags. And I haven't seen any numbers, I probably should have by now, on how many penalties are getting called in the NFL this year compared to usual. It just seems like more than ever, and I stopped watching, and I know at least one person agreed with me, and that was the guy calling the game on Amazon Prime, and that was Al Michaels.
You're kidding.
False start. Offense number 30. 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
It's the eighth penalty now, right?
No, it's the 147th.
What was that shot of you and Frank Gifford, 1986?
Yeah.
You've called a bunch of Monday night football games,
right?
Thursday night and Sunday night.
I don't know.
Is this a world record for you in first half laundry?
Absolutely.
I think it's got to be
question.
Up there.
Without question. You're going to need some new flags to throw in the second half. These ones are filthy. Angers kick. Bounce inside the five.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's another flag. In fact, there are two. We wouldn't lie to you.
That is great stuff. Listen, I've said a million times that there's nothing that can ruin the NFL. You can't screw it up. It's like the NCAA basketball tournament. You could cut that back down to, 32 teams or raise it up to 200 or do anything else. You can't ruin it. You can't ruin the NFL. They can do whatever they want, make whatever rules they want, etc. And people can threaten that they'll no longer watch, but they can't screw it up. But that doesn't mean there aren't things very wrong with the game that the game should seek to fix. And this is one of them. We've reached a point where it's just one flag after another in a lot of games. Including 2 weeks ago, the Steelers game was marred by this. There are so many rules for these people to keep track of that it's impossible. And the games are becoming, too many of them, becoming unwatchable because of this. Do something, Roger Goodell and the owners and the competition committee. Please do something. You know, Major League Baseball has long ago ceded its place atop our sports hierarchy as America's game to the NFL. But I'll tell you this much. Rob Manfred, as much as I don't like him, and Major League Baseball made a sea change to their sport a couple years ago, and it has really, I think, revolutionized the way people watch games. That is the pitch clock. I just saw a stat. Listen to this one. 9-inning games of 3 hours, 3.5 hours or longer. 2021, they played 391 of those 3.5 hour games. 22, 232. Then the big change, 2023, nine such games. And 2024, seven. They've gone from 391 unwatchable baseball games, and I consider anything from a movie to anything else. If you're going 3.5 or longer, you're unwatchable. 391 such games to 7 this season. Somebody in the NFL needs to take a look at this real soon because it stinks watching these games. I don't know if there were a lot of people like me last night. I turned off an NFL game because it was unwatchable. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I didn't turn it off, but it does just get so utterly ridiculous when it's flag after flag after flag. And sometimes it's flags for things that shouldn't even be flagged. When other times, when TJ Watt's getting dragged to the ground, there's not a flag called. Like, I pointed to that Steeler game in Denver for multiple different calls where you're like, really? That's the call?
Right.
And flags, I did look it up. They are higher this year, the amount of flags that are being thrown than previous years over the last 2 years.
Not surprised.
It continues to get higher and higher.
Part of me doesn't even blame the on-field officials. It's the tome of a rule book that they have to interpret every week, and they're getting graded on.
And all these formation penalties with offensive linemen that are like a half an inch off the line of scrimmage that are getting called, like, really?
Change that rule. Make it 6 people. I just can't. It's borderline unwatchable
now,
at times.
They're trying to do is with the tackles. They're trying to prevent, because there were a lot of times the cheese tackles and a couple others would, they jump right at the head nod of the center.
I know.
And would get like a quarter of a second head start.
You know what I watched instead last night? Limits.
What's that?
A movie with Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton that I can no longer remember what the name of it was. But Michael Douglas's son was going to jail, so he passed off his daughter to Michael Douglas. So Michael Douglas was the grandfather, and he was a very cynical man. He had lost his wife. He was very embittered, but he fell in love with Diane Keaton, and they became the de facto, well, he is the grandfather. She became the grandmother, I guess, of the kid, and they took care of the little girl. It was a very heartwarming story of a man like Ron Cook who was once embittered and then opened his heart. Have you ever seen it?
No.
You should.
I like your description. I watched Suits after the game last night.
What was the name of the movie? Check the text line at 412-928-9370.
I'm sure they'll deliver the goods in a moment here.
What was the name of the movie I watched last
night? You don't remember the name of the movie you watched last night?
No, I saw the movie and then I started watching it. I didn't memorize the name.
Well, shouldn't you know what you're watching?
My wife cried at it. She was crying through the whole thing. I said, what do you cry? I understand the ending is sad, but she was crying at random parts of the movie that didn't seem cryable.
Are you good with people's names?
No.
Like they tell you their name and you forget it a minute later.
The guy who just came in here has been working here for 10 years.
You forgot his name?
Andrew Bernchick. But I've called him Cornelius for 10 years.
Of course you have. Just like Ron. Okay now in the hallway with me every time he saw me. Probably doesn't know my name.
Hi Andrew, it was okay now?
It was okay now.
You should change your name to that.
It could have been, all right, Ron.
Okay, now Bechtold. I don't know Cornelius's name. He's never here. Is he your buddy from Waynesburg?
So he is a Waynesburg guy. He worked at the front desk a lot, did some stuff with sales, and now he's moving on. And his brother actually is the quarterback for Allegheny football. I've called one of his brother's games, and I'll call 2 more of them.
He's a legend. I need to know. Now I can't move on with the show until I know the name of the movie. Has anybody weighed in?
Nobody on the text line has weighed in yet. Your description of the movie must not be good enough.
How can I explain it any clearer? Michael Douglas,
I don't know,
Diane
by giving
Keaton.
The name title?
All right. And Diane Keaton. I suppose we could Google it, couldn't we? And so it goes. That was the name of the movie. Thank you, Limits. Give me an Artie Smith clip before we get to Bechtold's breakdown.
Ah, there's the texters. So it all came in at once.
It was a tearjerker at the end.
It was
quite happy and sad, if you know what I mean. Bittersweet, the word from yesterday.
Yes, our word of the day. Arthur Smith on Fields and Arthur Smith on Patterson. Let's start with Arthur Smith on Justin Fields against the blitz.
We were talking about earlier, Justin's numbers against the blitz are way better than they were in Chicago. Is that, do the numbers tell the true story there? What is Justin doing so well whenever he's dealing with pressure?
Well, there's a lot going on, you know. Some of it, how we wanted to attack the defense. You know, when you're able to keep them off track, they're not keeping us off track, it opens up so many different things you can do schematically. And if, you know, we're able to, sometimes if they're sitting there playing the run and they're trying to bring 5 and however they want to cover it, you're going to have really open up the second level of the defense, which makes some of those throws easier. And then what you're really evaluating, too, is just as a drop back, how are you doing? How are you seeing that as people try to pack the paint? I've seen a lot of growth from them there. I do think what helps anybody in any job are the reps. And as you're winning, you can see quarterbacks in this league, their confidence growing. When you put it all on one player, especially a young player, and he's got to, you're putting the ball in his hands and saying, all right, you got to drop back 45, 60 times. That's tough. It's tough for any quarterback. So as the offense gets more in sync, it certainly opens up more things. He's doing a really nice job.
When you watch a quarterback and he's decisive and appears to know exactly where to go immediately and it works, that's part coaching. That's part coaching. And that's probably why Justin Fields went on Cam's podcast this week. And when Cam said better coaching in Pittsburgh or Chicago, I mean, you know, you don't expect him to say Chicago. That wouldn't go over well. But he added, not even close. It's Pittsburgh. And that's a product of it right there. And you know it by watching him work from last week with his decisiveness. If you're going to be decisive, you have to know where people are. And that, to me, is a function of the design, pretty obviously.